CliffCentral.com.
Friday. It's been a long week for pretty much everyone, you know, but here we are. I don't ever profess to be the most technologically savvy person, but how is it that iTunes can never stop after a song?
What do you mean?
Because, you know, you have stuff on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
And you play it, and then the next song just instantly plays again.
What?
Like, you know, you get songs that stop after the song, and you can just press play on the next one. This thing just auto-plays everything.
Yes.
How can we stop that? How can we as a human race stop that so that it can just go song to song?
But, I mean, if you had a CD in your CD player, the same thing would happen. So I don't understand what the problem is.
But my buddy would look, I don't want that. Because how many times have you ever heard me trying to play clips and there's like three things playing? It's ruining my life. I'm trying to come across as a professional show host in the absence of Gareth Cliff.
Now, I don't mean to sound like...
Where are you going? It's a carry on.
Like this techo aficionado.
Is your microphone on?
Oh, wow. That's...
It is.
I can't hear you.
Oh, can you not hear
me? Okay, sorry. My bad.
Sorry. I don't mean to sound like this tech aficionado, but there is actually a way you can stop that.
Oh, so yeah, you're about to just change my world for the better.
Well, like they're like these little arrow circle thingies, and you have to just carry on clicking it.
I think I've just done it. Right, Lucas, so we got Gareth on? No. Okay. Well, that was...
That is quick and straight to the point.
So when he sent that message saying, let's chat at 6.
Well,
okay, look, some things don't always go as planned.
Yeah, you know,
hey,
that's life for you.
We've made it to Friday.
Yeah.
So therefore, good things. Any big plans for the weekend?
I'm going to sleep. Sorry?
I'm not sure he meant South African time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure he meant South African time.
But he knows what time...
But he knows where the show comes from.
And he knows what time the show starts.
And he's from South Africa.
I think that there's been a terrible miscommunication or misunderstanding here. Eventually we'll figure out what's happening.
We need to get Lucas a microphone. Seriously, his insights as to how the show goes are just priceless. He comes in and tells us, I think Gareth meant South African time. With this look on his face like he's delivering the most profound news of the day.
Oh, gosh.
So, Mavs, are you going to sleep? Are you going to sleep by yourself or do you have a roster?
No roster this weekend. It's just me. And I'm actually just... I want to catch up on watching series.
Ooh.
Mm.
Well, that's always a good plan. And the weather is dreadful.
This morning...
End of days out here.
Yeah, this morning feels like I woke up in winter.
Really?
Yeah, it's cold.
Where did you wake up, Sia? Which province did you wake up this morning?
In my head, I totally get why you guys are saying that, but I don't really feel like it really is super, super cold.
Okay, Sia, as you be my witness, the microphone is on, but I can't hear you.
Let's try this one. Let's try this one now.
No.
No.
Can't hear? Are you even talking this morning?
There's definitely something wrong because I can't hear him.
Yeah. And you know what? This is the worst thing, right? And this happens, Gareth, so when I look like the doer, like I've messed up.
No, it happens because, you know, that's technology for you. Sometimes it will let you down. And then it just kind of makes all of us look like idiots.
Okay, right. So what we've established so far that it's Friday. That's a very, very good thing.
Yes.
We've also established that Gareth sent a message an hour ago saying, Skype me in an hour.
Okay. So if he sent that message an hour ago, it is very possible that he could have, you know, maybe just put his head on a pillow thinking, you know, it'll just be 5 minutes and then it was the end. Because what time is it that side again? I mean, for him, it will be, what, into midnight now?
Well, it's time for the show, basically. I mean, wherever you are in the world, you got to commit to a cause. But yeah, it's, what, six, seven hours behind, or maybe eight? Either way. So the whole idea was that we're going to chat to Gareth and see how his first few sort of hours in America has gone, how he got through immigration, what it's like to be in Trump America, and what his weekend holds. Because tell you what, he won't be watching series or sleeping. He'll be busy. See, are you with us, Sia?
Am I still... No, still not.
Not happening.
Okay, Lucas, we've got two problems here. First one, no go. Second one, Sia's basically a mute.
We need to fix the Sia situation.
Yeah,
right,
okay.
I'm going to go nap in the corner.
All right. Okay, Sia, try again.
How about now?
Yes. Yay!
Settle down. Right, so...
I swear we just
first show. This is our first show. Okay, so normally when people say testing 1, 2, 3...
Fantastic. All right. Lucas has an update. Cool. Gareth is just setting up. He'll be Skyping with us just now.
Oh. Okay.
You know, there's this thing called mobile phone.
You know, and now, like, the first 10 minutes of the show is basically, hi, Gareth. How are you doing? Prep ruined. Right. So, see what you're up to this weekend.
What am I up to this weekend? Ooh, my sister's here, so we'll be catching up with her. And then just chilling for the rest of the weekend. So no major plans.
Oh, so can I give you an update on my home situation?
Oh, you are out of the house today.
I didn't lock myself in.
Right.
I had somebody come over yesterday, assessed all the things that are at fault, and you know he basically said to me that yes, the sliding door is definitely an issue. They're gonna have to come in and put in X, Y, and Z.
Ooh.
And then as we were going through the other doors, without me prompting him, he said to me, you know, one of these days you're gonna lock yourself in the house. So
that's not news you want to hear.
No. So the diagnosis is that they're going to come back at a later stage and they're basically going to fit me with new locks, because the problem is all my locks are basically, you know,
and
faulty.
What's the later stage when anything could happen any day? Look, I don't mean to freak you out.
No. I mean, it will be sometime next week.
Uh-huh.
So I just have to wait it out for a few days.
Oh, that's awkward. Sounds like such fun.
Yeah.
I think it will be like involuntary that you're spending the weekend at home this week. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, so basically we're all very boring people. But I tell you who's not boring, is a guy called Chris Burtish, right? Mm-hmm. You heard of this dude?
No.
Okay, Chris Burtish basically is one of those guys that looks at the globe and doesn't think, oh, one day I might want to travel there, or I might want to see that city. He looks at things like the Atlantic Ocean and says, yeah, I can pretty much stand up, paddle that whole thing. Well, that's what he's done.
Why?
He's completed the stand-up paddle from Morocco to basically the West Indies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to start with this. This is probably the craziest thing I've ever seen someone do. You know, we've had swimmers on the show before who swim in, like, jellyfish-infested waters and minus, like, sub-degrees stuff. But what Chris Burtish here has done is that, have you guys ever stand-up paddled?
No.
Yes, I totally do that. That's my favorite pastime.
Okay, good. Okay, so where's one of us?
Getting off the couch and doing something with my life is what I always do.
Okay, so stand-up paddle, if you don't know this, is basically it's a board which is probably about a meter across and about 4 or 5 meters long, okay? But it's very buoyant, so it's like a long board for surfing.
Yeah.
Then you have a very big paddle, and it's like kayaking, but you're standing up. So he's done that across the Atlantic Ocean. Now, if you can do that across, I don't know, Emerentia Dam, I think you're a hero, right? And that's what, 150 meters? This guy just covered 4,050 miles. But what makes it so incredible is that it was unassisted, right? So there was no boat next to him. There wasn't.
He was totally alone.
He was by himself.
And what possessed him to do this again?
Well, look, it's what these daredevils do. I don't know the full story, but what these guys do is that they're raising funds for various good causes. And what Chris wants to see is more schools for kids in South Africa. So, you know, if he can do this and 20 schools open up, then he feels like he's really achieved something, and he bloody well has.
Oh, man.
But can you imagine, like, the shark encounters? He's had wins. So it's just by himself, right? So some days he may not make any progress whatsoever because the wind's in his face and the swell's pushing him elsewhere.
And how does he rest?
he has like this little canopy that he built onto the stand-up paddle, which is exactly the length of his human body. So it's like 1.7 meters something. And so he would paddle every day, and then he would get in there. But now you've got to cook, you've got to sleep, you've got to do whatever you can. Obviously, he's going to toilets on, you know, in the ocean.
Okay.
But it's just, I thought about this the other day because, you know, he was getting to the latter stages of it. Now that he's completed this first year, I'm happy he has and safely done it and he's survived this whole thing. Mm. Because this is kind of like stepping out into the big unknown, right? Now, every single day, just think you're paddling, right? He had a torn rotator cuff or strained rotator cuff muscle. That's integral to your shoulder movements.
Where's that?
So around your shoulder area. His hands were so badly cut and worn out because every single day he's holding this paddle, right? And with the tension involved to actually get some traction in the water. And this is every single day. He can't suddenly go to bed and go, you know what, tomorrow I think I'm going to give paddling a miss. He's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to... Like, deep down, like, these guys are normally very humble, right? So what they say is, you know, I just want to make a difference in the world, and, you know, I don't look at life differently. But what, you've got to be a little bit mental in the head. There's got to be something that's just not quite adding up. There is a few screws loose here. Look, I totally admire the guy. I'm definitely not knocking him. This is something that I would say 99.8% of the world would never even attempt, try, or even comprehend.
Nope.
Wow. So if you, if you're a Chris Burtish fan or just amazing human endeavors, just Google this right now. There's so many different stories about it. 93 days that from setting off in Morocco.
3 months. That's 3 months.
And it's just him, huh? And it's just him and the ocean. And there's not, what also must make you so just, discombobulated, I think that's the word.
What?
Is that all you ever see is blue, right? Because your horizon is water every single day. You've got no sense of direction other than what the compass is telling you in your satellite navigation stuff. Mm-mm. So you wake up, you see ocean and sky. You go to bed, you see ocean and sky. But he said a lot of the time it was actually raining a lot. So you're constantly getting wet, which is one thing. You're in the ocean, you deal with it. But it's like a mini type of waterboarding because you're constantly getting splashed in your face. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah, definitely not. Not something that I would even contemplate.
No. You know, I admire him, really. It's absolutely great, and it's fantastic, and it's for a good cause. But 3 months alone, that's also so dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, just anything could happen to you. Not just, you know, I don't know, you crash into something, or like a rock or whatever.
Well, there won't be any rocks because you're deep at sea, which is really great.
Or like a whale or whatever it is. But literally, you could just... have a sneezing fit and you just die. And how just sad that, oh, look, we found his corpse just float. No, guys. I don't know.
At the same time, obviously, there's big swell. So he's been knocked off his board a few times. His stand-up paddle has a self-righting mechanism. So if that does happen, it'll always come up tops. But this is good. Like, you know, you can't get any decent sleep because you're constantly in motion, right? So there's 3 months of us. This guy actually needs to be watched for a few weeks because he's going to be so unsettled. He's going to be so, like, not himself.
He might even need a bit of therapy afterwards.
I would. Although he's definitely going to get hammered tonight, I would. Imagine first day on land in 3 months. You have, like, one beer and every single day you've been so fit, you'll probably just pass out.
But it allows you to actually be so grateful for the little things. Like, oh, grateful for land. Grateful for different horizons,
other people,
everything.
Which makes you think, like, have you ever done something so daring in life that you think, wow, that was so cool?
Never. Yeah. Never, ever.
Can you please call Gareth on your laptop? On your Skype?
I'm sorry, Lucas, this is bloody ridiculous. Can we just take a song and work this out?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because this is just ridiculous. Okay, so yesterday, right, we had this whole thing about one-hit wonders.
Okay, yes.
And then why they're one-hit wonders?
We were looking in Mojo yesterday.
Okay, so they were one-hit wonders because the rest of their songs were crap. No, but there's no other way of putting it, right? So today, in the theme of that, we're going to basically go and say, this guy had a great song, and what were the rest of his songs like?
Okay.
Any guesses who we're going to have today? Because I went through a long list. There's a very long list of EH1's one-hit wonders.
Oh, gosh. So are they all, like, from the 80s or something?
There's a fair few from the 80s. Mums, good start.
I'm too sexy for my shirt, guys.
No.
Where are they?
Or I said Fred. They actually had three hits, apparently. I threw that out, and I was lambasted on Twitter.
Oh.
Today, we're going to have the one-hit wonderness of...
Mm? Oh, I don't even remember his name.
How can I remember Hathaway? That's almost as bad as seeing not knowing Murder on the Dance Floor.
Mm, I know the song, but I just okay. Didn't remember the...
Anyway, so Happy Friday is Hathaway. We'll be back, hopefully, with everything put together. If you have a hit that's so good, it almost counts as three, are you still a one-hit wonder? I mean, Hathaway was the shit, huh?
Yeah, this was a good song, this one.
My buddy, tell me...
I don't know any others.
Tell me you didn't lose your inhibitions on the dance floor when you heard What Is Love.
No, I didn't. I've never lost my inhibitions, Ben, because I'm terrified of dancing. So it's not something that I'm overtaken by.
Did you just say the song is so good it counts as three?
Yeah. That is a fair comment. How else would you describe the career of Hathaway? Because tell you what, there wasn't much on the go there.
Where is he now? Do we know?
Let's see.
He's probably just hanging out with all those girls, those residual girls from the 90s when he was a big deal.
Oh, shame.
Can you imagine that? You're so big, you've got residual girls.
Yeah. But a lot of stars have that, residual girls. I mean, we found out just the other day that Ed Sheeran is basically very familiar with all of Taylor Swift's friends.
And do you know
friends.
How nasty Ed Sheeran is, actually?
Yeah, please, that is so mean. So, I mean, what next? You can tell me Mick Hucknall wasn't good looking.
No, I mean nasty as in like nasty on the down low. So I think we discussed this, what, on Monday or Tuesday?
Mm.
The very next day, Ed Sheeran announced that he's now going on tour. So I think he spoke about this as a hey, this would happen on my last tour.
I get what you're saying.
Going on a new tour,
Yeah, but there are plenty of girls who are ready to service Ed Sheeran's needs. So he's, I mean, take advantage of the opportunity. Like, you're young, you've got money, and you've got, you know, girls who want to do things to you. Go right ahead.
Just nasty on the DL. That's what he's doing. That's yeah, all he's properly doing.
See, this is the interesting thing about pop culture, right? Now, in the past, you'd basically just drink a lot and everybody would be there for sex afterwards. Now you've got to create your own hype. So good on you, Ed Sheeran, for basically making this happen because, you know the 70s show?
Yes.
That was a while ago, right?
Ashton Kutcher and them.
Okay.
Mm. And there was a guy called
Fez.
Yes.
Okay. So Fez, I mean, his career was basically what? The 70s show.
Yeah.
Then he came out and said, yeah, I've been sleeping with everyone. Lindsay Lohan, he mentioned a whole bunch of celebrities.
Yeah.
And just basically just threw it out there. And it's something like, okay. So he's just, this is Wilma Vandarama, whatever his name was. He went from being Fez to people actually knowing what his real name is. All because of this whole hype he created around him having coitus with really famous girls. Sorry, Lucas, this is my last try. It's on my screen here. Okay.
Is he on?
No.
Okay, but I'm trying to call him. This is what's really here. You told me that. I've called him twice, and he's basically said, and he's saying call failed. So while we get on with the show, please tell him that Ben is trying to call you. I don't know what else he's meant to be doing. Say really nice things as well, I was on time.
Okay.
I've been doing everything right. I played Hathaway.
Mention that.
Look, if you were to have a replacement for Gareth right now, I think I'm ticking the boxes. So just tell him all of that.
You sound like a terrified child who's expecting to be berated by their father.
No, I'm actually just a frustrated child because it's Friday. You know, you're joining us early in the morning. We had a plan, and now these things aren't happening. We're trying to pick it up, and it just doesn't sound good. You know, it's Friday. We've got people in the mood.
All right. Well, then let's just keep it moving. Then
yes.
You know, let's just go about things. We've all got stuff to do.
Yeah. Okay. Breaking news. Breaking news. They've had to evacuate the crickets for the Test match, SA versus New Zealand. There was a fire alarm at the university. Whether this is a childhood prank or if ISIS is now in New Zealand, I'm not sure.
Oh, so this is in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, there's breaking news, but I'll have to, look up on this.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's just a massive fiasco of the cricket. So between Gareth being unskypeable and the fiasco in the cricket.
It must be such a mission trying to evacuate a whole bunch of drunk people.
Oh, to that story, people are being evicted from the New Zealand game right now, okay?
Yeah.
So if you watch, like I was telling you, it's basically in Middle Earth where the Hobbits party. So there's just like there's grass banks, right? There's no seats or anything like that. It's so village there. And it's a university town, so they're literally playing at the Dunedin University Oval. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where the kids play. This is where now international players are playing. And everyone in the grass is obviously hammered because in New Zealand, there's nothing else to do. You literally try to become an All Black. When that doesn't happen, you become a drunk. That's pretty much your life curve.
Okay.
And these guys are so drunk, and they're all just shouting, skull, 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 to make each other drink. But because there's no stands, and there's like so few people there, you can hear every word coming from the ground, from the fans.
Oh dear!
So people are starting to get evicted for downing beer.
Oh no! No 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 no! We've lost the plot.
You know, to make a good combination.
Exactly. Often we say in this country that you know there's things messed up, whatever. But we actually have true freedom here. Like you can't provoke your friends to down beer. I mean that's half the reason to go into Test cricket. Call me a child, but I mean that's pretty much it.
Is this a is this like a favorite pastime over in that side of the world to behave this way? Because in my mind, I'm starting to think now, if we could do a ranking of the worst fans in terms of sports categories, like who is the worst behaved? Would it be rugby? Would it be football?
Well, you know, it's always football because there's actual hooliganism. I mean, they've actually called it something. Here, this is just people being drunk. So these students are being evicted from the ground because they're provoking each other to drink. But what made it even funnier is that while they're shouting skull, 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 Morne Morkel downs his water in front of them to get them going. So that's what happened in the crickets. They've been led off.
And as well for me, where are they? So it's Thursday where they are, right?
Yes, yeah.
Or are they ahead? So it's Saturday.
I mean, I don't, off the top of my head, know what the...
This is like Inception all of a sudden, trying to teach you where's the world.
Because it makes the biggest difference, because I'm like,
So basically they are the opposite of Gareth, and New Zealand, they drink every day, so it doesn't matter. So Gareth is like 9 hours behind, they're about 9 hours ahead.
9 hours ahead. Okay, yeah. Well, it's late afternoon or mid-afternoon Friday. Okay, cool, you could have taken a half day or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if it was just the middle of the day, I don't understand how people get to do that.
What do you mean? See, if the cricket starts at 9 in the morning, do you think people are going to wait for an appropriate time to start drinking?
More than that, how do you get time off at work? How do you justify
I mean, say this is over a weekend.
Okay, if it is over a weekend, then it makes sense. But I'm now going to take time off just for Morne Morkel.
But these are students. These are students, okay. So they are always, they've always got time scheduled to drink.
And their livers don't work as
I know, they've still got young, sprightly livers at that stage. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, there's also nothing to do. I mean, how difficult is university?
Hey, listen, university is tough, okay?
No, it's not.
Ben, university is tough.
Right, so what you were asking earlier before we get into the news is that if Hathaway was a one-hit wonder, how did he last so long? Well, he had other songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had other songs. So taking it into the news, we're going to get to Friday going with his other song, which was Life.
Life.
Ever heard of this one?
Yep, maybe when you start playing it, I'll know it.
Life. I mean, he's very descriptive, starts off with this. What do you think is going to happen next?
Life.
Bass drop.
Yeah. you got to see the dance moves. It's absolutely spectacular. I think it's enough of that. So that was Hathaway, One Hit Wonder. What Is Love was pretty much where it was. There was nothing better than What Is Love. Yeah. Right, onto the news. It's 6:30, it's on a Friday, and the news today is brought to you, as always, by Kolkakia Pizzeria. It is Friday, you'll be making healthy life choices, so make a healthy life choice for the better. What the hell's that?
That was my laptop, sorry.
The news brought to you by Kokaya Pizzeria. Maba Limaloy, what do we have?
Okay, so angry community members yesterday were barricading roads in Reicha Park. This is on the East Rand. This happened during a protest against what the residents say is an unfair housing list. According to the community members, they say that illegal immigrants are being prioritized for housing, while locals have been on this list for 2 decades. There was a standoff between protesting residents and the police yesterday, and it ended when the crowd negotiated with the police, saying that they're not planning on getting violent. So at least there was that. Now, according to the community leader, Catherine Herman, she says that they have asked the local councillor to address them on numerous occasions with no success. And this is a typical storyline when, you know, people want to have conversations with leaders, and then they keep having to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and then leaders never do anything about it. The next phase of the operation is to protest, is to then start making a noise about things, because then at least, you know, they'll get the attention that they're looking for. So what they want is their local councillor, who is Charles Crawford, to come out. They want the Democratic Alliance, which is the ruling party in Reicher Park, to come out. And they also want the ANC to come out so that they can rectify everything that is wrong in the area. So, you know, another protest, and residents in Reicher Park feeling that there is an unfair system with regards to who is being allocated housing in the area, saying that illegal immigrants are being prioritized over them.
Hmm.
Then in the Eastern Cape, the education department there is investigating allegations that one school principal has been forcing pupils to admit their sexuality to their parents.
I heard this.
Did you?
I heard, and that just seems bizarre to me.
So at this stage, it's all just allegations, but the school in question is called Ulwazi High School. It's in Mdantsane. And the education department in the Eastern Cape confirmed that they have been made aware of the allegations, and so investigations are going to start taking place. What is being alleged is that the principal paraded learners because they are lesbian or bisexual. This apparently happened after the school principal reportedly found 2 girls kissing in the bathroom, and then the principal forced 38 girls aged between the ages of 14 and 18 to announce their sexual orientation to their parents, their guardians, and their teachers. The investigation has been launched, and a meeting was underway at the school to discuss the matter.
I don't understand how, like, this all makes sense to him. So 2 girls were allegedly spotted kissing.
Allegedly, he found them kissing in the bathroom.
And so now he's grouping all of these other kids as well, who have nothing to do with the matter,
yeah,
to my understanding.
Yeah. 38 is a high number of, you know, just 38
so now
lesbians
just
in one
going,
school.
You and you and you. Yeah, you guys look gay. Come, 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 let's go. And then he calls in parents. And how is that sort of communication when it goes out to parents? Like, please come into the school on Monday. We are discussing your child's...
Also, are you just not allowed to be gay? I mean, and this is the funny thing. Is this a school for non-gay people?
Well, you know, there is also that matter is seemingly because he then paraded these girls that he caught kissing as if, you know, to shame them. Because evidently they're doing something wrong by being lesbian.
I don't know.
No, it's so sad. Like, such prejudice when you're young. I mean, like, maybe that's, like, it's great. This is one of life's great things, discovering who you are, right? This is where the fun comes in.
Should be.
Because when you're old and you know who you are and you've got bills and you've got mortgages and jobs, that sucks.
Yeah.
This is the good times. And you got dickheads like this trying to take that away from you.
Exactly.
Ugh.
All right. Home Affairs, the department, they're set to deal with illegal immigration. You know, this is a very sensitive and heated debate in the country currently. They are going to be making sure that work visas granted to foreign nationals, or rather work visas are granted to foreign nationals whose skills are needed. I'm sorry, I thought we were doing this already. What is the Department of Home Affairs been doing? According to their spokesperson, Maisha Metwete, he said that an employer will be compelled to demonstrate to the Department of Labor that there was no skill for a particular employee in the country before Home Affairs can issue a work visa. Now, the Department of Home Affairs have been reacting to the grievances which were raised by the Mamelodi concerned residents. They demonstrated against illegal immigrants 2 weeks ago, saying that foreigners come into the country to commit crime and steal jobs. Protesters marched through Pretoria 2 weeks ago and handed a memorandum to the department. And so their response now is to tighten up on how they are distributing work visas to foreign nationals. Tough job.
Just another day in South Africa, isn't it? Not?
It just doesn't seem like there's a solution inside to this, is it?
No.
It just seems that certain role players aren't going to take any big calls, and people are just so close-minded.
And then people have reacted with, I don't know if outrage is the correct word. I mean, outrage has become that kind of word that when you hear, you know, some people automatically switch off because they think, oh, well, there go the humans trying to feel special again.
Yeah.
But there was an ad that was posted on Gumtree earlier this week. In fact, on the 7th of March, by a Plumstead family who was seeking a domestic worker. So the ad reads like this. You're required to follow instructions and clean thoroughly and meticulously the way I want.
Mm-hmm.
You are expected to be clean and smell good and bath and change every day and twice a day if necessary. So people have been like, what? First of all, I think people are taking exception to the instruction that the domestic helper that is required here has to be clean and smell good. I'm sorry, I thought that was a given.
Who exactly is outraged by this?
There's some undertones here of something here.
So the ad was posted by a Mrs. Ali, and her husband, Abubakar Ali, has since come forward to say, but hang on, I don't understand why people are upset. There's nothing wrong here. Secondly, the salary that they're offering is for 2,000 rand a month, which apparently is below the minimum paying wage, which is another reason why people are upset.
Okay, that I get.
So, I mean, if you say that you are looking for, you know, a domestic worker and you'd like for her to be clean and smell good, I don't understand why there's requirements for people to be clean and smell good. I thought that was a given.
Exactly. I don't even like, why does that even have to be stated?
But yes.
It seems like such an obvious.
I mean, unless I am unaware and there is a massive problem with domestic workers going around not smelling good and...
Well, that's just it, Mums. There's this...
And, you know, their employees are shocked and horrified and are just being put through the absolute worst.
Yeah.
Because their domestic workers don't smell good. I wasn't aware that such a problem exists.
There's this gross misconception that people of certain workforce do not smell good or they can't keep looking after themselves or something. That's exactly what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, look.
No, I'm just rather here for the fact that this person could potentially be paid under the minimum wage. And the sad thing is we only have spotted these people because they've put out a public post. There's so many people who will hire someone from word of mouth and still underpay them, which is not cool at all.
Well, yeah. There's so many people who would accept this job because they're in a very desperate situation.
That's it.
But I think this happens more than we know. Like I've heard some stories over the years where you get these people who, and it's not a money thing, it's like a control thing. So people who are relatively wealthy, they will run the domestic workers to the bone and then pay them literally next to nothing. And it's like this, you must serve me because I'm better than you kind of thing. And it's disgusting. It really is because a lot of these people are just trying to support families.
Mm.
They've got to travel far and wide to get to you. You know, they're not really running at a huge profit because taxi fares are so huge. And then here you are basically just breaking them down to like 2,000 rand a month.
Yeah. That's what this ad says they'll be paying them, 2,000 rand a month.
Let's just say 50 rand a day taxi fare, and that is very conservative, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 250 a week. That's 1,000 rand a month taxi fare. And you're going to get paid 2,000 rand?
Mm. And then you must still eat.
So you're working for 1,000, and these hours aren't exactly short. Then you must still eat, and then you must still clothe yourself.
Yeah.
Accommodation doesn't come free.
And if you have children at home.
Where's that 1,000 rand going to go? How are you going to stretch that?
Yeah.
And she's probably working in a house where, I don't know, it's maybe a 3 million rand house. People are eating pretty well. And you're going to really bargain someone down to 2,000 rand?
Yeah, you know what? You're so right. It happens more often than we are prepared to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just beyond frustrating. Rob, is that the headlines?
Yes.
Okay, headlines today brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. It is Friday. it's Kokakia time, whether you're going to go through the app and enjoy the beautiful rewards or just browse through that menu and with watering mouth eventually make your order at a till. It's happened to me before.
Like the maestro you are.
Look, it's slightly embarrassing, but I know what's coming, so therefore I can't hold back the emotions.
You weren't embarrassed the other day when you were bragging about you being a maestro and all of that.
You were banging on your chest.
Just saying.
I've come to the conclusion that very little embarrasses me. Very little. Other than the theme tune for my sport. Alrighty. Sport on a Friday, and they are back on at the cricket. So what happened was there was a fire scare. No one really got injured, I don't think. Nothing overly terrible, and they're back on. And, well, Hashim Amla's at the crease. Stephen Cook went for a duck. Unfortunate that. But, yeah, his form's been a little bit up and down. So New Zealand basically got 341, which is brilliant. Very, very good showing there by the home team. Didn't look like they were going to get there. But BJ Watling, that is a name, huh? BJ Watling, he did really, really well, along with Kane Williamson. So Williamson got 130, Watling got a 50, and then Neil Wachner from Welkom, I think, he got 32. Off 32, so really great rearguard action there. Ross Taylor did not come out and really capitalise on the fact that he was injured early on, and he came back to bat with the tail, so he was 15 not out. So Stephen Cook's gone, and currently the Proteas are 15 for 1 in the Dunedin University Oval, where you're not allowed to tell your friends to drink beer loudly. That would not be tolerated whatsoever. Just can't do that kind of stuff. Right, Super Rugby weekend. Okay, so there's no Thursday games this week, which is great because I find that so disorientating. It's like you want to get into the weekend and it's Thursday and then you just think it's Friday, but it's actually not really. So, big, big opening today, 8:35. We've got the Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. Now, the Hurricanes have played 2 matches, but they might as well have counted as preseason matches because they scored 83 and 70 points in their first 2 games against the rather lackluster Sunbulls and Rebels team. This week, they're playing the Chiefs, away at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are, well, they're a fantastic side. They really are just a devastating force. They beat the Highlanders away, and then they hammered the Blues last week at home. So, prediction on that one, I'm going to go Chiefs by 6, which is then followed by the Brumbies versus Force, which is going to bore the crap out of you. But if you're playing Super Brew, you've got to pick for everything. You've got to think the Brumbies are going to take this one. The Force were pretty good last week against the Reds, but the thing is, the Brumbies put so much pressure on you. They've got a pretty tight defense. Their tackle completion is fantastic. They have the highest ranking tackle completion in the tournament so far. So go Brumbies by 8 in that one. Blues versus the Highlanders, Saturday, 8:35. Another big game. This one, all these New Zealand derbies are just brilliant. Whenever these teams play, it's just really good. Unlike in the South African and Australian League. So, Blues, they had a bit of a rough one last week because Stephen Luatua was an idiot. But they're going to be playing with 15 men this week. And I think their 15 will be better than the Highlanders' 15. So go by Blues by 4 in that one.
That's a justification because he was an idiot.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, he was just completely lacking in logic. It was a brain fade. It was a brain fart.
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot. And he deserves his 4-week ban. So he won't be playing tomorrow. Then we've got the Reds versus the Crusaders. Played at home for the Reds, but the Crusaders, well, they just did too much with the ball in hand. They're just really, really quality together units. Not the star of the team they used to be, but there's enough going on there, and they showed it last week by beating the Highlanders away. So go with Crusaders there by 8. Then we've got Kings versus Stormers at 5:05 on Saturday. Now, the Kings are the Kings, which means...
I don't know, Ben, give us a clue.
They have a crown.
They're going to lose.
Oh.
Yeah. So that is SA's worst team by a country mile. The Stormers right now, still unbeaten, 2 really good wins up the top. Look for the Stormers to win this one by 20+. It really is going to be quite difficult for the Kings to be too competitive at this, even though the Stormers have rung the changes, and they have been resting players already. It's week 3, and they're already resting players. Cheetahs versus the Sunwolves after that. Now, the Sunwolves, they lost to the Kings last week, which tells you that they are not very good at all. There's also a team that basically had about 3 weeks preseason training, whereas other teams are more like 3-4 months. So look, the Cheetahs, while they're a devastating side, wants to get going. So look for them to run the ball, and it could get really, really messy here for the Sunwolves. I'm going to go Cheetahs by at least 45. It's a big call, I know, but if the weather is decent and the Harleys are revving in Cheetahville, well, the Sunwolves have got no chance anyway. Then the Sharks back from the Australasian tour. They take on the Waratahs tonight, Saturday, 7:30 in Durban. It's going to be a very tight match. This, the Waratahs got hammered by the Lions last week. The Sharks beat the Brumbies in the last minutes. It's going to be really tight, but you've got to think the home team is going to edge that one. Go with Sharks by 7 there. And the final game of the weekend is the Jaguares. They host the Lions. Of course, remember the fixture from last year. The Lions are about to go into the playoffs. They don't want to really stretch their squad too much, so they sent a very much a B team to go play the Jaguares. All they had to do was win, and they would have topped the overall Super Rugby log. They lost. They had to go play a final away. They lost in that final. We all know that story. This is the game repeated. And this time around, the Lions are sending a good team, a solid team, and it's a team that's going to be good enough to beat the Jaguars, a team that always plays with about 14 or 13 men at any given stage of the match. So as your Super Rugby picks, on to football. We've got a very interesting weekend of football because locally it is the Nedbank Cup. Now, the Nedbank Cup, like I said in the past, it's basically the equivalent of the FA Cup in England, whereas the small teams can play against the big teams. We get some real fairy tale stories, the David and Goliaths, all that kind of stuff. So just to run you through the fixtures to look out for this weekend, Joma Cosmos will take on United Rovers on Saturday. It's a very interesting name, that, United Rovers, because you basically have a place at the end, you either call them United or you call them Rovers, like Blackburn Rovers or Manchester United. These guys have just gone for the United Rovers.
Okay.
Interesting. FC Cape Town will take on Baroka FC. All these games on Saturday. Buya Masutu will take on Bloemfontein Celtic. Kwadokuza United take on IX Cape Town. Free State Stars take on Highlands Park. Stellenbosch will take on Kaizer Chiefs. And then on Sunday, with Golden Arrows versus Maritzburg United. Days FC will take on Mbombela United. Acorn Bush will take on Cape Town City. And ECBS will take on Orlando Pirates. So I can't see you can hear those names.
How much do you enjoy saying that?
ECBS. That sounds very Afrikaans. I'm guessing it's not a bunch of Afrikaans guys playing football.
You never know.
I think that's what we do. But FA Cup quarterfinal weekend. Now, this is going to be very interesting. So if ECBS is not working for you against Orlando Pirates, well, on to Saturday. Man City, Middlesbrough, 2:15, followed by Arsenal versus Lincoln City, 7:30. Oh, it's going to be so exciting. You're going to see some passionate supporters. They're going to arrive there drunk. They're going to be singing and cheering. It's their big day out. It's their biggest moment in sporting history. Lincoln City in London. Then Sunday, we've got Spurs versus Millwall. They'll be fighting in the stands. Again, it's just going to be so much fun to watch. The FA Cup's basically about the supporters. It really is. That game's at 4 o'clock. And then Monday, Chelsea versus Man United without Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is basically the one-man team at the moment for them. 9:45 Monday night. Cricket, I've already told you about that. Golf, there's the Veldspar Championship, which is where Charles Swassel is defending. Probably not going to win. Might not even make the cut this year. Jim Herman, he's -9. He's got up to a great start. And then the Hero Indian Open. It's played at the DLF Country Club. This is a country club that was designed by Mr. Gary Player himself. It is absolutely amazing. You just see the terrain and what he's done there. It's just an absolute story. Weather affected yesterday, but David Horsey, he's galloped out to an early lead.
Ha ha.
He enjoyed that, yeah. Yeah, so that's the European Tour.
So sad.
Loads of cricket when you consider the fact that this test match is going to go all 5 days. It has to. The latest in the India-Australia series is that they're now looking for peacemakers between the Steve Smith and Virat Kohli spat. The BCCI want to basically investigate the fact that Australians are cheats. No one likes being called a cheat. Australia pleading their innocence, all while Mitchell Marsh has gone home with a mysterious shoulder injury, otherwise known as having no form whatsoever.
Who are the BCCI?
It's the Board of Complete and Utter Control in India. They basically own cricket.
That is a good one.
Yeah. So we'll see how that develops. This test match cricket, like I've always said, is probably the greatest sport in the world. To the outsider, it looks completely pointless. People blocking the ball. Sometimes they even try score runs, which is kind of the object of cricket, right? But the rivalries, the tensions, the drama, I mean, this is just brilliant. We've got two of the greatest stars in cricket right now, Steve Smith and Virat Kohli. Mm-hmm. They're fighting like little bitches. It's brilliant. It's just so brilliant. And then you've got like countries coming together, people getting like really upset about the fact that other people from the past have now been quoted as cheats. Like, this guy was referencing a guy in the 90s who was cheating, and therefore all Australians are cheats. Like, it's so beyond petty. It's amazing. So FA Cup, Nedbank Cup, Super Rugby, and then Six Nations is the fun thing to look out for this weekend. Ireland versus Wales, that's tonight in Wales, 10:05. Tomorrow, Saturday, Italy versus France at 3:30. And then the big game, I'm so excited to watch this Saturday, England versus Scotland. And this is it. England win this, they tie with the All Blacks for the most consecutive test wins of all time. So this is a big deal. It's also a potential banana skin for them because Scotland have really, really improved. They've already beaten Wales, they've already beaten Ireland. Can they go on and beat England, who haven't really hit their strap so far in this tournament? They didn't play a game against, didn't play rugby against Italy, apparently. And then against Wales, they were quite shoddy. Same with France. So go on, Scotland. I think if Scotland wins, this will be the weekend of sport for the year. It's going to be great because a lot of people don't think that England deserve this record. They're not nearly as good as New Zealand. If they win next weekend, they'll set the new world record, but they wouldn't have played the world champs once, not once. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the sport today. Lucas, have we got Anthea? Okay, thumbs up from Lucas. First thumbs up of the day. Jeepers, I feel like it's a real relief. Time for your finance on Friday. And what that means is that it does queue up one of the greatest songs of all time. See, like I was telling you, it's just the bane of my life.
It absolute. Is almost one of the greatest songs of all time. Almost.
Yeah, I haven't sworn today yet.
No.
It's been right there.
Give it time.
It's been right there.
Give it time.
There we go.
Friday rock there, Fiancia.
Thank you very much, Ben. I like that you ended it with, so you'd better treat her right. Okay, so yesterday, fairly big volume day, $1.7 billion traded, a lot of companies reporting yesterday. Overall, the market was down 0.75%. All the major indices were lower. Even the Rand was weaker at 13.25 against the dollar. But at least the weaker Rand gave some of the Rand hedges a bit of a boost. Resources took a lot of pain yesterday. Anglo and Bulletin were both down 3%. Lonmin was down another 9% yesterday. This company just can't catch a break. At the beginning of the year, it was a 30 Rand share. Yesterday, it traded at 13 Rand. I mean, it's a share we know. We've spoken about it a lot. Like last year when they did their rights issue to raise capital. And the question then was whether or not the company will fail, or where the shareholders were supported, will support it. Basically, shareholders did support it. They took up their rights issue. They chose to buy more shares. Probably the biggest shareholder was the PIC. They're the guys who manage the government pension fund. And I think the question this time around is if they do need to raise capital again, and the PIC does take up its stake, I think, I'm speculating here, but I think it will take the PIC stake to over 35%, in which case, according to the rule, they have to make an offer to minorities, which potentially means that they could, that the PIC could end up with the entire company, you know, if other shareholders sell to them. So I think it's an interesting one to watch from that. It's not a great story, unfortunately, but interesting at least. We're not going to own it for a while. And then still on resources, Exxaro released their full financial year results yesterday. It really looked like a strong set of results. Headline earnings was up 185%. Coal exports up 27%. They managed to reduce their debt by 56%, but the share was still down 9% yesterday. There's a lot of uncertainty around the sale of their Tronox business, which is a deal that was announced a week or two ago. They're selling it for 11.3 billion rand, which is about a third of the company's market cap. And unfortunately, the implied market value of the rump of the business that is still sitting there is quite low. And so there's a lot of speculation about what they're going to do with the cash. I mean, there's a couple of options. They could do a share buyback. They could distribute that cash to shareholders. They could use it to expand their coal business. And I've always said cash is a drag on the balance sheet. The reason you have cash is to sweat it, to make it work, to kind of grow your business. I think there's a possibility that management may want to keep some powder dry for future opportunities, but that's never a great reason to sit on cash. So
hang on a second. There's a lot of analogies coming out here. You've got to bear with us. Oh. Did you refer to it as the rump of the business?
Yes.
Okay. And there's a lot of powder?
Dry powder, like, you know, when you have dry powder in a keg, like, to keep... Do you not know that?
You're just spitting rhymes at us this morning.
Are you using like asset manager jargon, or are we just really, really stupid?
I just love that she said it, and now having to explain herself is like, who are you guys? How do you not know this?
The rump of the rump of the business, is this the arse end of the business, or is this the meaty part? This is the good part.
So in some cases, it could be the arse end of the business. I think in this case, it might be.
Okay.
But it's kind of the big chunk of the business that is left outside of the heart and lungs, no?
No, fair
you're not. Is this not working for you, this analogy?
No, it does. It's just that we want to be on board with it. Mm. That's all.
Okay.
It definitely works. We definitely trust you. We just want to know we're on the same page.
All right.
Sorry. You were saying there's some dry powder?
For future opportunities. So if, you know, there's a potential acquisition or to expand their business, the problem with dry powder is it's a drag on the balance sheet. Is this a problem as well? Okay, moving along. FirstRand also reported yesterday, pretty much in line with expectations, return on equity declined a little bit to 22.9%. Hang on. So you don't stop me when I use terms like return on equity, though.
Oh, but
that's a good thing.
I mean, come on, return on equity.
You know that, right?
Obviously.
I
mean, we know what return means. We know what equity means.
And yeah, we've been in this relationship for a while now. You've taught us a lot of things. So that one we know.
See, this I really like. Okay, we're good to go then. So when I tell you that NPLs increased by 10%, obviously you know that non-performing loans increased. I mean, not unexpected in this environment. Consumer under pressure, can't pay back their debt. I mean, I think in the banks, the surprise would be like Nedbank last week, where these NPLs don't increase. Also, FirstRand, the Africa business was a bit of a drag on performance. Profit was down 77%, just not great. And then the UK Moto Nova business, which is the vehicle financing company, profit was down 14%. I mean, I think the surprise in the FirstRand numbers was also that WesBank earnings were up 34%. It's a strange combination when you've got non-performing loans up and strong vehicle financing numbers, so almost contradictory.
But also people buying cars nowadays as well.
But exactly, that's why I'm so surprised to see this increase. Like, who's buying a new car or maybe a secondhand car in this environment?
I mean, like, cars are either expensive or they're either expensive or they're catching a light.
Yeah, depreciation. Okay, got it. A depreciating asset on fire, Ben. Overall, pretty good set of numbers. The share, unfortunately, was down about 1%. I think that had more to do with just the overall market than these results. And, of course, the other company we were waiting for yesterday as shareholders was Old Mutual. This is a complicated company, but the bottom line is operational performance was very good. Really great performance out of the UK wealth business. Profit there was up 50%. They did cut their full year dividend by a third, which we don't like, but I think we know they're breaking up the business, and the cut in dividend was more just kind of as a management of capital as they go through the separation process in the four businesses. The share was up about 0.5% yesterday. Some interesting news there, I think it was interesting. Trevor Manuel has taken up the position of chairman of the Old Mutual Emerging Markets business. He's already the global advisor, some fancy title, for Rothschild. And quite frankly, I think if I was Pravin Gordhan, then I was looking at Trevor Manuel, I'd be going, what am I doing? Why am I the finance minister?
Yeah, exactly. You can get a pretty cushy job somewhere else, just like Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, so I looked up what board members get paid about a year ago, and I think on average it was about, and I'm just, my if memory serves, right, about 450,000 Rand per board member. That's what you got paid. And that's on average, right? And I mean, sure, like kind of the chairman of a global company obviously will get paid a lot more. Granted, he, you know, there are things he has to do. He has to completely understand the business. He has to attend 4 meetings a year. There are lots of reports to read. So, yeah, that's, I don't think Trevor Manuel's got himself a terrible job post being Minister of Finance for this country.
And the same, at the same time, I'm pretty sure he gets a lot of dry powder from a return of equity at end of year.
I think he's definitely sweating his assets.
I got that.
Okay, there are so many things I can say about that, but I think we must finish off with Ascendus. I went to their results presentation yesterday, and I did remember why I liked the company. Well, other than the fact that they give us very nice goodie bags filled with all their products, you know, so they own Evox, they own Namu Skincare, they own Solal, the vitamins, Betterway, Sportron. Oh, there's a host of stuff.
So you basically got protein shakes and moisturizers and all kinds of things to make you look amazing for the weekend.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. The share was up 9% yesterday, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I gave you the numbers yesterday, really decent revenue and profit growth. The only thing, most of it, though, came from acquisition. So the only kind of question I think investors will have is how they're going to up the organic growth number, because that came in at about 7%. And I think what will happen is the acquisitions will feed into the business, and so it'll be self-fulfilling almost, so that organic growth number should kind of increase. They do target above 10%. But the fact that the share was up 9% yesterday, I think that's a very good sign. Investors are favoring it again, because it was out of favor for a while.
Very nice. Anthea, I've got a question for you from Color, and it's got to do with hashtag invest. So this is what Color has to ask. Anthea, if I want to give my niece a hashtag invest portfolio that runs off a debit order from my account and becomes available to her when she is 21, do I take it out in my or her name? Keep in mind, she is one, so not sure how I can fika her.
Okay.
I think this is a very good question, because a lot of people want to do things for their nieces, nephews, or kids, or whatever.
Yeah, my niece has a portfolio, and she's also one.
Did you fika her?
We fikaed my sister, her mother.
It sounds like something you do to a dog.
Yeah.
Has he been fecund? Oh, that's why they're acting like that.
All right. So you have to open a minor account, and you have to go onto the Easy Equities platform. I think the best thing to do in this situation is to actually email or phone Easy Equities. The number is on the website. Mm-hmm. And ask them to tell you exactly what you need. So you do need, if it's a niece or a nephew, you do need to get permission from the parents, and you need to fika the parents. But yeah, it's easily done. It's really not a problem at all.
Okay, so basically just getting their guardian or parent, or whatever their legal term is, to say it's okay. This is my child.
That's right.
I created this child as mine.
Okay. That's right. And I was going to say something. Oh, if it's a one-year-old, then I suggest the aggressive portfolio, because that's a pure equity portfolio. It'll be volatile. We know the story. But on average, equities generally outperform kind of the conservative portfolio. So you want to give her time in the market. You want to allow it to grow over so many years. And of course, this is where I have to say that past performance is no indication of future performance. So.
Yep, you got to be responsible. You can't be having these aggressive one-year-olds looking for big return on equities.
Indeed.
Anthea, I feel like we've learned so much today. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch
My
you back
pleasure, you
on
too.
Monday.
Indeed. Ciao.
Very nice. That was Anthea, and she works hard for her money, she makes money work hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, I think that's her slogan on the billboard.
I highly doubt it. But
Anthea's got her own billboard.
She deserves it.
She has several.
This is Anthea, windsurfer. It's quite funny.
And other stuff.
Just a couple other questions. I'm sorry, Declan. Anthea's just gone. I know you had a question for her. But, you know, we know a lot about finance. Maybe we'll have a run at it.
Sure.
Please ask Anthea where we can see the previous performance of the hashtag invest funds. As someone that wants to join, I would like to see how well the fund is doing over time. Well, Declan, I can tell you this much. It's done brilliantly. It's definitely one worth getting involved in. Also, bear in mind, I am not a financial professional.
Okay, there we go.
So there we go, two things. More about this whole domestic worker thing, Mubs. Michelle sent us through the actual advert.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2,000 Rand, right? But there's more to it. And obviously, all the condescending stuff aside, it says here 2,000 Rand plus food and accommodation. It also says here, I will increase your salary even after the first month if you're capable of doing all my work the way I want, in capitals. Increases up to 2,500 Rand. So that's where they're going at. Which then brings in, Kala had another question around that. She's very curious, this Kala. Is basically saying, if you incorporate accommodation and food into someone's salary, does that mean you can then go over the minimum wage in that respect, seeing as your cost to company essentially is taken into consideration?
I have no idea.
That's a fair point. I mean, if you are a domestic worker, right, looking for a live-in role, I don't know if that's factored into it. In tangible financial senses, it kind of makes sense, because if you're not going to pay for accommodation, that's a score. If you're not going to pay for food, that's a score. So it's an interesting thing. But, you know, this whole thing about minimum wage is that I can see what government's trying to do. They're just trying to get a basis of what's going to happen. But then again, you need to be able to negotiate whatever you do in life, whether it be your salary, whether it be a relationship, whatever it is. We, as humans, have always negotiated things. So if you can get something that's not of monetary value, as in cash in hand, but you're getting its monetary value as in a thing like accommodation, that still holds value. If you know what I'm saying.
It does.
Yeah. Lots of other messages, but we need to get back to our one-hit wonders. Anushka's also outraged by this whole domestic worker saga. She says she pays her domestic worker, her helper, 3,500 a month, and she also contributes to her travel, which costs about 275 a week. Again, so you can't live on 2,000. But we've had the finance, we've had the sports. Sorry, there's no Gareth this morning. We did try, but there was some sort of breakdown. We had the wrong Skype address. Oh, what an absolute disaster. But you deserve better than that. So my next one-hit wonder that I'm going to bring to you is one of my favorite one-hit wonders of all time. His name was Rockwell. And during the time when Michael Jackson was the business, before he wasn't making children, everybody wanted to sound like Michael, right? Everybody was Thriller before, like the music video, the sound, absolutely everything. So this dude Rockwell came out with this. It was such a good track. And up until a few years ago, I really thought this was actually a Michael Jackson song. It's a great music video too. He's in the shower. It's so awkward. Lots more news with Mubs and Sia and all the rest. It's Friday. I'll catch you back after this. Oh, just classic from Rockwell. It's one and only. I'm just an average man with an average life. CliffCentral.com.